Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
The one thing I want to talk about is, as you all know, there's going to be a general election in the next year, probably. And it's very important you remember the people who debate issues. It's very important that you remember the politicians who make themselves available to you. And here on this show, over the last 12 years or so, I want to make it abundantly clear there have been many politicians who will not make themselves available because they know that I will ask them tough questions sometimes. Some questions, by the way, that you have the right to know the answers to. And they need to be challenged every now and again. And they prefer not to be challenged. But some politicians do make themselves available on a regular basis to our show. Many of them you'll be familiar with. One person is Padraig Tobin from Aintu, and he joins us on the line. Thank you very much again for joining us, Padraig. I appreciate you coming on the air.
Thanks very much for the opportunity.
Now, Padraig, of course, you had a go yesterday at Leo Varadkar. This is over his comment in relation to culture wars in Ireland, because he said trans people exist, and the Taoiseach told the Dáil, calling on education to be the subject of common sense. Now, let's have a little listen to the question, of course, that you asked him in the Dáil yesterday, which he refused to answer.
Taoiseach, your announcement yesterday that primary school children as young as 9 or 10 years old should be taught about transgenderism shocked many people. The Red Sea poll and Ireland Thinks poll suggests that the majority of people believe that children in primary school are too young to be taught about transgenderism. Their research states that most people in this country believe that children are too young to grapple with these very, very strong and important issues. Now, everybody wants to have compassion at the heart of the education system, but we also need common sense. We have a duty of care as well for children. And parental choice and consent must also be components of the education system. Gender dysphoria is not easy. Children should be treated with compassion and support, but it must be evidence-based. And there's a growing number of experts who have said that the approach of this government on these issues is not evidence-based. Has your department or the Department of Education carried out any research on the effect on primary school children of delivering material on transgenderism in the classroom?
Now, he refused to answer that question, which, by the way, was echoed this morning by Michael McDool. Padraig, as you may be aware, maybe you've seen his article in relation to, he was talking about Tavistock in the UK and transgender children, and of course treating them with compassion if they have gender dysphoria. But you believe this debate is just not being had.
It's a very important debate, and it's one of those debates where you have this really strange situation whereby you have, you know, ideologues in government and in the political bubble. And then you have the rest of the population who many, if not the majority, disagree with the government. And yet you have practically no debate. And one of the reasons why you have practically no debate is because most of the opposition parties are on the same page as the government. So there's no challenge. There's nobody really challenging the government on this issue, except for the likes of ourselves and Aintu and a couple of others. So, you know, first things first, yes, we live in a republic, so everybody is equal and everybody is valued. And, you know, people with gender dysphoria, you know, it's real, it's not easy, and we need to treat people with gender dysphoria with respect and compassion. And our education system should also do that. And that's, you know, really important to say. But the government are involved in what's really big and radical change, especially in the area of primary school education. So, you know, the majority of
parents... Well, it's not just the government. The president came out and has now said more, or echoed exactly what Leo Varadkar has said, and echoed what Simon Harris has said, and the Taoiseach as well, and Simon Coveney. And it almost seems like everybody's afraid to even suggest that there should be a debate about this. Actually, we're being referred to, similar to when we talk about, you know, refugees or asylum seekers in Ireland, if you are any way question it, you're referred to as some sort of right-wing racist. Now we're being told that you're anti-woke, if you even think about, you know, that there should be some sort of debate around this.
Yeah, so I've spoken to many TDs in the Dáil, and they would agree with me. And I say, well, why don't you speak up? And their answer is, so you'd have the head taken off if you spoke up. Now, the fact that you have TDs who are meant to be representing the people, who are getting paid well to represent them, who are meant to be, like, you know, seasoned and thick-skinned, that they're afraid to talk about this is incredible. All of the opinion polls that I've seen in this, from reputable opinion poll companies, have shown that the majority of parents simply think it's wrong to teach 8- and 9-year-olds about transgenderism, about the potential there to be, you know, 74 different genders, etc. Most parents believe that children should try to get through primary school to focus on maths, Irish, English, geography,
but if you suggest that you don't want your child learning those things, you will be told that you're transphobic. You will be told that you're not being inclusive. You're being told that your child will grow up to be a bigot. And that's what you'll be told.
Look what's happening here. So the government are on what I would call an ideological crusade. And they're also involved in what I believe in bringing the culture wars into this country. In many ways, I think they're doing that to distract people from the bread and butter stuff that they're just completely incompetent at dealing with.
In other words, are you saying this is some sort of distraction away from the housing crisis,
a distraction away from the cost of living crisis? It's easier for the government to go down these routes where they have no opposition from the traditional opposition parties.
I know you're saying that, but Leo Varadkar is not stupid, right? And neither is Micheál Martin and the government. They're not silly. They know that they're only appealing to a minority because, by your very own admission, Red Sea polls, and even, by the way, we covered the topic the other day on the show, and I would say 95% of the people texting in and coming on the air didn't agree with the government. So why would they be going down a route that they know is unpopular and only appealing to a minority or NGOs?
Well, I do think that they have been captured in many ways by activists, and it's not just me in saying this. So, for example, you have very reputable medics, doctors, experts in this area, people from the National Gender Service who actually work with people who are transgender on a daily basis. And they've said that the government's approach is ideological, that they've been captured by activists, that it's not medicine based, it's not scientifically based. There's no evidence to the government's approach. Remember, just in the last year, the government tried to get rid of the word woman from legislation around maternity leave. I know of teachers who on in-service days with the department have been told that they shouldn't use the word mother or father in class because that's not inclusive.
Also, the maternity hospitals have been told to use the word pregnant person.
Pregnant person, the HSC using the words, in the person with a cervix. Language like chest feeding instead of breastfeeding. It's the NCCA, which is the organization tasked with developing the curriculum, has links to other websites that are sources for supports for teachers that actually say don't use the word boy or girl in class because that's not inclusive. So what we're having here is a culture war being imposed upon the country and the government saying thou shalt not debate this. You won't have a discussion around this and we're just going to get past it.
And look, we do have to be conscious that the discussion has to be sensitive because obviously there are, as you mentioned already, there are people who have gender dysphoria. There are transgenders in society. But mind you, I know people in the LGBT community who are, lesbian and gay, and they don't agree with the government either. But of course, they're part of the same community and somehow feel that we shouldn't be just tagged along with that because we don't necessarily agree with that either. But in relation to, I suppose, we do have to be very careful about children we're raising in the future and making sure that they're non-judgmental. So is there a balance to be got between the two?
Yeah, so look, they're obviously, as I said, we very clearly have to show respect and compassion for people who are transgender. But the point of the matter is the government and Leo Varadkar is making arguments to say that male-born rugby players should be allowed to play in women's rugby, even though the science that the World Rugby is using shows that male-born players are taller, they're heavier, they have more muscle, they have larger lungs. When they impact against people, they create more damage, and they're more competitive. And so, when you have the Taoiseach actually arguing that that should happen, you ask yourself the question, why are the government not listening to the science? Why are they not listening to the evidence? Why is ideology trumping all of that? And then we have the issue of, people wanting to be able to have safe spaces whereby, women and girls can change in safe places and changing rooms and toilets. Like, the mad thing is about, in Scotland, where there's actually a real debate sometimes on these issues, you had Nicola Sturgeon, going down the route incredibly and saying that a male-born sex offenders should be put in women's prisons.
Well, a man who was found guilty of the rape of two women.
Exactly, yes. Put in a woman's prison, and an obvious backlash of
and
normal,
she lost. Well, she lost her job over it, didn't she?
In that, and she lost her job in it. But in this country, we have male-born sex offenders in women's prisons, and there's not a word about it. And one of the reasons is because so many of the media and political parties are on the one page on this. And that's why we all say to people, if you have a different opinion than the political establishment, don't stand idly by, get actually politically involved.
Would you
make
say,
sure that you have your voice heard.
When we hear this morning that Norma Foley, the Minister of Education, has said we're going to be cutting back on religious instruction in schools, this is something, by the way, that many people have been calling for years. It does seem a very much a coincidence that this particular week she has decided to make this particular announcement. Now, this is after the institution or the Association of Catholic Church and the boards of management in schools of the Catholic patronage have said that they don't agree with this sex education curriculum. Do you think there's a link between the two? In other words, we're replacing one ideology with another.
I do think there is a link between the two. And don't get me wrong, AIMTU's position, we're a pluralist party. There are plural value systems in Ireland. There are Catholics, there are Protestants, there are Muslims, there are atheists, there are agnostics. And, you know, everybody should be able to be who they are to their full potential without fear of favour from the state. So we want the education system to reflect that. We want parents to be able to choose the education system that they want for their kids. But what's happening is, you were going back to the 1950s in many ways. So in the 1950s, you had only one type of education that was Catholic. You had it whether you liked it or not. And now
we kind of still have that, where we've 85% of schools under Catholic patronage.
We do, but there is far more choice now. So most, you know, many parents who want, you know, other types of education can use
would you agree with the American system whereby you take religion out of the, you can teach theology of course, but take religion or any kind of form of religion out of the school and education system, and if people want to educate their children on religion, do it at home or do it at the weekends?
See, no, we would be a pluralist party. So what we're saying that is that, you know, everybody should be able to choose an education ethos.
And I would agree with you, Pater, but the only thing we might disagree on, but the majority of schools in this country, sadly for most parents who live in housing estates or wherever it is, the nearest schools are Catholic schools.
The solution to that is to try and divest a number of those schools and to make sure that brand new schools are not Catholic. That's the solution. Now, the weird thing is, right, we hear in the media all the time that people are looking for non-Catholic schools, but the mad thing is that where divestment is actually starting to occur, parents are kicking up and say they don't want the school divested from the Catholic Church. Even parents who are not practicing actually think that these guys are doing a pretty good job and the standard of education is very high as well. So I personally would like to see less Catholic schools in the country, just so that we had that plural option for parents. But the key point is, it shouldn't be forced on parents. Parents should be able to choose it in their locality, what ethos their school has. But this government is involved in forcing now their education and their ethos on children and parents.
Well, were you surprised, let's say, when Leo Varadkar, I mean, you asked a very fair question. I don't think you were offensive or you triggered anybody, as they say, in the way you asked the question. Were you surprised that he completely ignored you or didn't answer
you? But see, this is the question. He had to ignore me because his policy is not based on science. So the nub of my question was, what research has been carried out by the government to work out the impact of teaching 8 and 9 year olds?
Well, the answer is none, of course.
So he couldn't answer the question. So basically, he would have had to admit, I am embarking on this radical education, cultural war policy without any research or evidence whatsoever. And you know, that's the key to what the government is doing. And it's our job, you know, pretty much Sinn Féin, Sock Dems, and People for Profit got up and basically just said, we support the government on this. And people have to realize, in the Dáil, there is precious little opposition. I believe AIMTU is the only party that's actually providing real opposition on a range of different issues at the moment. But, you know, people need to speak up and be heard. Don't be afraid. As long as people engage respectfully in a decent fashion with compassion, people should be allowed to articulate their voice on an evidence-based, scientific base around this issue.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air. Thank you, Pater Tobin.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hit.